Dus we kunnen beginnen. We'll do this talk in English. And I'm actually really glad to see all of you here. And I'm also very glad to see Roman. Can you check your audio as well?
Yeah, I can check my audio.
Perfect, it's working. And we also have on the front row Nastya, both from Kharkiv.
I think you can.
Hello, everybody. I think it's not working. Is it?
Yes, it is working.
Oh, it is working. Nice.
Yeah, but you're standing in front of people. Go backwards.
Oh, yeah. Go to Sasha.
Or go to Sasha.
Yes, that's a very good place. The first slide is in Dutch, because I wasn't thinking this morning. What we will do today is we'll explain about the project of Roman and Nastya, ATalk in Kharkiv, and the way we try to help them, which is something that we've been doing already for quite some time, because we are close to the third anniversary of the Russian invasion in Ukraine. What this presentation will contain, and that's good to know, is video and photos from Kharkiv, both of the consequences of the war and the way that people try to help. We did not turn the emotional knob to 10, or not even to 3, but there is some stuff that might have some impact. The main question that we try to answer is what's happening there and how can we try to help? And when we are done with the presentation, we can do a small auction, because we have goodies. They are really nice little cats from Kharkiv. We have a small collection of t-shirts in different sizes and a very special prize, a small 3D printed statue, which is exactly like the one you can see in Kiev, overlooking Ukraine. Well, Roman, normally you spend your life quite differently.
Yeah. Normally, yeah. Hello, everyone. I want to say thank you so much for your support and for your time. Let me introduce myself. I am PhD in physics, and before the full-scale invasion, I was a math teacher in private school. It was my normal life. Not very normal for my students. But on the morning of Thursday, when Kharkiv woke up with sounds of bombing and shelling, we still thought that we should go to the school to meet parents and children and try to do something with them. But in a few hours, we received a call that no, it's too dangerous. So a lot of people starting to evacuate from Kharkiv, and first week of full-scale invasion, we just tried to keep mindset of our students like in normality, with some logic puzzles, with some math games, with some biology games, because I have one of my good friends who also teach in this same school. So we just were all time online. So when children get cell to to join us. They just join in from first grade till 10th grade, and we just talking and trying to help this way. After it, me and Nastya received a call from one of my colleagues who tell that I heard you helping with delivery medicine in your neighborhood. I was evacuated and I left my car near train station. So if you can go there and pick up it, you can use it to help people. And from this moment, it was more action story with a lot of driving, evacuating people, delivering medicine, teaching Nastya how to drive a car if something went wrong. Something like that.
So teaching has stopped for now?
Almost.
And at some point with eTalk, you ended up not doing this alone or together with Nastya, but with 250 other volunteers?
In early beginning, a lot of people tried to help to neighbors or to soldiers or to hospitals, which is close to you. You're trying to help. And a lot of people become wild volunteers without any charities or something, just for funds from friends and family. And maybe in a month and a half, or in 2 months, we faced that if you don't have a charity, you have like tied hands with some bureaucracy, and you can't ask for help from Europe, from state, or from the world, because you need to prove who you are. And we joined European tradition of charity, which was invented in 2015, 1 year after Russia engaged in Ukraine, first time. Not a first time, but first time in this century. There was a guy, Roman Bock, who is originally German, and he fell in love with a Ukrainian girl and come to Poltava and now live in Ukraine, something like that. So yeah, we have more than 200 people in our charity who trying to help. Some of them continue volunteering, some of them stopped volunteering and joined military unit, army, or firefighters department, or medic ambulances department. I mean, yeah.
I think you get very motivated people from volunteers. Let's see. This is the situation as of today. Here you can see Kharkiv, which is your hometown.
Yep.
The Greenland is liberated.
The Greenland, it is a territory which was occupied in the beginning of 22nd. So as you can see, it was on a circle road of Kharkiv. There already was Russian army, and it was stopped by a few our army brigades and territorial defense units, which just became a real thing in a week. Yeah, and you can still see a lot of territory of Ukraine, which is still occupied. And if you use your phone to go through the QR code, you can find Deep State website. It is some startup of three guys from Ukraine who just monitoring situation from open sources and just making almost real time situation on the front line, like 3-5 days delay. So it's not safety to use Deep State to plan in evacuation on or humanitarian mission. It's very important if you ever will go to Ukraine. It's only dynamics and view. You can go here just because it's green. It's don't do this. Yeah, better call me and I'll help with the road, etc. Yeah, so
basically when you speak about evacuations, this is the area where you, and in the north of Chansk, where you evacuate people from?
Yeah, in 22nd year, we evacuated people even from here. There was a green or gray zone that time, but there was not as much drones and FPV drones, so it was a little bit easier. So you just need to be focused about artillery or infantry. But now, even 10 kilometers from the front line, it's very dangerous. And in the end of January, very cool guy from America was majorly injured during evacuation mission here in Pokrovsk. His van was attacked by a Russian drone, and unfortunately he lost his arm and leg there. Even if the car was completely civil with a lot of banners that it is civil evacuation in English and in Russian, just evacuation with the Red Crosses, but they don't give a shit.
Wow. Let's see. This is just to give an idea. I think this is in Kharkiv, just after the... this is footage from this summer, right?
This is footage from last summer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's footage from last summer. This building, which is destroyed, it's one of blocks of the university.
Let's see if I can start.
So it's nothing military or something, and it's something like 5 kilometers from city center.
If I look at the people who are here, there are many who have already seen one or two presentations about our project. So I will skip through a few videos. Or just to be sure, who is watching a presentation for the first time on the project on AG Ukraine? Yes, cool. Yes. We can
do it like fast. like show and.
Let's see. Let's skip this one because this one is nicer. This is a bridge. Can you explain what's happening here?
It's a bridge in Kupiansk after they occupied in Kharkiv region. This big part of Kharkiv region was deoccupied, and we went to help with evacuation to everybody who didn't make it to do through Russian cordons and checkpoints. There was a possibility to go out from occupied territory in 22nd year, but it was dangerous, and it was kind of lottery, because nobody knows what is in mind of senior officer who is there on a checkpoint. So a lot of civilians stayed in their homes, and it was hard time for them. But after they occupy in these territories, we came there. There was all bridges through the river Oskol destroyed. I don't know. Was it in a video?
Here I can show.
Here is the Oskol, and this video is straight from this crossroad. It's the main highway in Kupiansk, and this bridge was completely destroyed, and there was only 1 meter wide path, just footpath, and few of our volunteers jumped somewhere here through the mud and through the river with crossovers, and bring people from this side of the river to the this foot passage, and we help them there, and
you get stuff like this. This is more recent.
It's from the May of this year, of last year. Yeah.
Yes.
May 24.
And what I find interesting, you have a 4x4 car. The people who were watching saw the stuff in the background, but also two guys who seem to have very little with them. What do people, when you do an evacuation, you leave your house, you leave your stuff?
Yeah, and you go with what you can get in your hands. Like sometimes it's a few boxes or packages with something. Sometimes it's just a passport and nothing more. It's our guy, Lyosha. He is now on a Sumy direction, helping with evacuation a lot. Actually, yesterday he evacuated two people from combat zone.
Mm-hmm.
From actual combat zone, and he doing this every day since we finished in Kharkiv direction.
Mm-hmm.
In June or July, maybe he moved to Sumy and helps. Originally he is from Kupiansk. It's a city where was the last video.
You have some odd stuff in evacuations. I really like this one. I mean, it's if people decide to bring their passport and, you know, maybe the photo of their marriage, there is also somebody who brings it.
Who refused to evacuate without his pets. Yeah. And if you have a cat,
yes,
or a dog, or a big dog, it's okay. Even if you have camel, you just need to call volunteers and tell, like, you know, I don't have a lot of stuff, but, well, you know, you can see it. Yeah.
And yeah, so
it's a river in it's a river Oskol in Kupiansk, not on this bridge because for now the bridge is completely destroyed, even the footage pass.
And here, this really hurt me actually, because there's just one cat and two bags that people are bringing from their
just apartment. One cat and two bags, and actually this is disco from here, from Netherlands. You can see even part of Netherlands plates, paper plates. It's very interesting tradition in Netherlands, yeah. With paper plates which becoming white. Yeah, and on this day it was like a technique support car. And we pulled from a mud two vans and one crossover, which was broken, and four people who just we can't reach them with a van, so we just move with this car.
And then, for sure, I mean, it breaks down.
Yeah. But I think Nasta will talk better about it.
Nastya, are you comfortable explaining how you end up in the workshop?
Well, just one day I decided that I can't communicate with people anymore. I think. And I came to the guys who have a machine shop. They work for free. They fix military cars and volunteers' cars. And I said, like, take me in. I can do anything. I want to help. So that's how I ended up there. And it is quite interesting sometimes with what problems cars come and try to fix them with, I don't know how to explain.
With a very low budget.
Without a budget. And so you can understand better how, what cars do we dealing with. It's the most frequent answer on my question, like, Misha, how can I help? The answer is just, take this shit and hit hard here. Something like this. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
so sometimes Nasta need to consult with her supervisor.
Yeah. And luckily, you get very good supervision. Now, part of the help we try to do, because of the intense use of roughly everything, the fact that people who are doing evacuations, basically all infrastructure, is used up in a very short time because of attacks, because of very bad roads and very intense usage. I think you had. With your evacuation group, how many people did you evacuate? Do you have an estimation?
It's definitely more than 19,000, but I don't know last estimation.
You basically evacuated
before the May. Basically, we evacuated like one town in Netherlands here. Yeah,
yeah,
something like.
Yeah,
20,000 people, plus minus.
And then when you evacuate people, you still have a lot to do I mean, when they come to Kharkiv, they are not safe yet. Kharkiv is also under attack.
Yes.
We have some video with some quotes for you. We can show it. This one. Maybe that's. Well, it has a famous quote. It ended up in the 8 o'clock news.
It's almost clean here. And yeah, something like that. It's like 40 meters straight from apartment to missile point. Yeah. And there was a car, what I used to for volunteering. Yeah, and it was there, and you can see photos of it. Yeah, something like that. And, but we are strong. We will fuck them all.
Yes.
Yes.
And this was an attack in civil area in Kharkiv?
Yeah, it was an attack in 40 meters from apartment of my friends who gave me our second car. And it was almost completely destroyed. It was last New Year.
Yeah. And then you help out together with the whole team. This is another example of what you guys are doing. This is another example of an attack to just a neighborhood.
Yeah, it is a neighborhood in our city, very close to our home where we with Nasa live.
And your friends went there, and what did they do?
They first responders comes to extinguish fire,
mm-hmm.
and to do some medical help if needs. Also, we have a group of volunteers who are properly trained to do first aid with traumatic bleeding, etc. And after it, we come to the location and helping with cleaning some big stuff and closing the windows because of the weather.
Yeah, so
in Kharkiv now it's minus 10 plus minus 2 degrees, and if you leave broken windows for the night, in the morning you will have blown pipes. So our team tries to help during all day or night if missile comes in the night, just to close temporarily living buildings, because a lot of people don't have a place where to go, because all city centers and campuses are overcrowded. Yes, thank you. And a lot of people moved from Kharkiv to the west part of Ukraine and to the Europe, and still it is very hard procedure because when you come like a tourist or like a volunteer, it is even better than a tourist, because everybody likes us. It's one thing, but if you come like a refugee and you need to build your new life without language, without skills,
It's really hard, and I know a few situations when evacuated people comes back to the destroyed home and trying to renovate it somehow and stay there. So yeah, there is a very big problem in Ukraine with what to do with victims of the Russian terror.
This is also part of basically the volunteer work.
Here is Roxana. She is very nice person. I think that in Kharkiv, everybody knows these names, Roxana and Maxim. This is two chiefs who started cooking in February of 22nd and didn't end it yet. Like non-stop cooking and not non-stop going to missile points to help volunteers, city workers, police and fire first responders. Also, they went to shelters with some hot food, and they really do very, very important and very big job.
Yeah. And so, if you have a missile attack in your street, your car is damaged.
This is almost damaged. Not damaged car. No. It's already
It's already starting. Huh?
Yeah. It will go by itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
just a little bit dirty.
This is an almost not damaged building.
In a few hours, it will be.
Yes. Well, this is even a better photo, I think, of if you want to give a image to the word perseverance, this is probably it.
Yeah, this guy, in a 2 or maybe 3 hours, he will finished cleaning, and his small shop will work again in just 2 or 3 hours after hitting very close. Just with the closed roulette as well.
Yeah, well, you can paint your inventory on the roulette.
Yeah, maybe he will.
Yes. It's what I found a very, very, in a way, inspiring and very hard is to see that daily life continues even during war. Because you need to continue with your work, with your everyday things.
Well, yes.
That's it, yes.
Yes, you have to adapt to changes.
Yes. And then in the evening you sit in the backyard, we have a if you this one is nice for audio. Ah, yeah.
Actually, sorry. Can you hear me?
Can you the box on?
Actually, he doesn't come home at the evening. It is good if he comes home late at night.
Well.
From some another evacuation or some other volunteer job, so yeah. Something like this.
Sometimes it could be more than 1 day or 2 days in a row. Sometimes you just come to refuel tank in the car and change boots and go again. Yeah, but I don't know how to say it in English. You need to do something to stay in your mind and in your
to stay sane.
Yeah. Something like that.
I don't remember what is
next slide.
So. The next is the small video from your backyard.
Yeah. Sometimes in the night, you can watch.
Yeah, yes.
Kind of.
Some people count sheep to try to sleep. Some people count other stuff. And if you have the audio, it just gives an idea. This is the
tracers.
The traces of the air defense.
Machine gun of air defense.
And in the distance, you can hear a small scooter sound.
And my voice.
Yeah. And I think you cannot listen to this sound anymore after all this. Or you get used to it.
You get used to it, but still, even here in Netherlands, you just reacting and just everything's fine. Okay, it's just scooter. Okay,
and
or helicopter. It's fine.
For those who do not know, this is part of a propeller with high quality Iranian wood of a small Shahed. Which are sent to bomb and destroy and make terror in Ukraine. All this evacuation and all these people leaving their homes from Vovchansk, for instance, where you with your group evacuated a lot of people. I wondered, why would you leave everything? And this is a recent footage. It's the image will clear up later on, but this is what is left of Vovchansk. This is a small town for Ukrainian size, 18,000 inhabitants.
It was occupied. It was deoccupied in 22nd year, and it was fine till 24th year. There was more than 18,000 people, and after May of 24. I don't know, maybe it's July or something like that. In 2 months, it became ruin. Since 15th of May.
And all along the front line, there are small towns like this, in this shape, with people who fled and tried to find a home elsewhere.
During evacuation of Vovchansk, there was three volunteers who died under Russian fire, and two police officers who also was involved in evacuation, and there was not their choice, but they did everything what they could.
And then I cannot watch too much of these clips because I'm always a bit silent. You know, it's homes, people's lives destroyed. And then you have some volunteers who try to help a little bit.
And really a very big community of people who cares.
Yeah.
And thank you for that. For that, it's very important for us not to stay alone. Yeah. Thank you. And you can show part of your work.
Yes.
Yeah.
But in comparison to the shit that happens in Ukraine, it always feels so small and like this.
And in Ukraine, it feels very big.
So, okay, we keep going. what we try to do. Vehicles for evacuation and other purposes. They are... We source them. There is a company in America, in Limburg, Bus for Cars, who buys up Discoveries, repairs them, and prepares them. And we, together, we find funds to pay for this. We find volunteers who drive them, because the best test drive is to arrive by road. If they go, they should not go empty. So we buy generators, we find funds for this. Also, a lot of money for stuff like this comes from Ukraine, from the community in Ukraine. A lot of money comes from the community in the Netherlands and in Europe. And then there is the medical side of things. We are happy to be in good touch, good contact with the Dutch ambulance services and with the wholesale company, who are happy to support on a larger scale, which is nice. So if you have any contacts in the medical world, help us. Because it's never enough. And you can... Stuff that goes here in these small bags... are, for instance, tourniquets that you use for wounds that are caused by shooting or shelling. To stop massive bleeding.
From your hands or legs.
And there are other large plasters which you use when there is a hole in your body. And typical stuff like this, we will be in the wholesale place again on Tuesday. So if you want to support... we'll have some auction afterwards. We're really happy to help the volunteers who are working. You can see on the photo that they still need more gloves, but they did get really nice helmets.
Actually, yes. It's very, very nice. Yeah. Helmets with a lighter.
Yes. And there is some dancing gear. With which comes partly from the dredging companies that we have in the Netherlands. Sometimes we're lucky, just basic tools for people like Nastia, who take their time and go into the workshop. And something that we can all work on, if you're somewhere in the flow in your organization, because we're IT equipment is used or left to gather dust. We have a lot of demands for this because due to the constant attacks, the coordination of everything in society is also hurt. Servers, switches, workstations, screens, laptops.
Tablets,
definitely tablets. Also. It's very welcome. We're happy to bring it ourselves or to ship it. We've been able to, due to good contact from Kharkiv, we're able to ship by pallet. So we're happy to come and arrive with a truck if it's needed. do not hesitate. One laptop is super welcome, and one pallet with laptops is also welcome, and a full semi, yes. For sure, we do some small visits every once in a while, but we have
here,
a whole
here
community.
Is the name. It's Volchansk. Yes. It's the same district where you saw the video.
Yes. That's why the video is also quite impressive. So, if you want to support, there are several options. We have a really nice sticky. Mendel was so kind to provide throughout the event posters with a nice QR code, which you can scan and then and help us out. You
now
can
after
also
a couple of beers, you can still donate.
Yes, after a couple of beers, and especially then, yes. You know, this coma, it's so overrated, this coma. You can move it all the way to the back. We have our roll-up banner at the exit of the hall. There are a lot of other practical ways as well. We'll do a very small auction.
Nils.
But Nils, before we stop, yeah.
To Ukraine is a OMBI.
Yes. Oh,
so
this is very important.
Donations are tax deductible.
I did not put it in the presentation, but you are right. We put some effort into our paperwork. We are now a foundation with an OMBI status, which means that we are an algemeen nutsbeoogende instelling. And it means that we receive this really nice code, which is at the bottom of the roll banner. So you can make a photo. And when you put in your tax deduction at the end of the year, you can put in the donation to our foundation as well. Yes. But there is one important thing before we go to the auction. If you have any equipment, there is one very, very, very specific word that you need to, that we'll take from the list of suggested questions before we go to the auction.
Yeah,
very
good.
It's very, very important.
Dutch.
Yes, it's your favorite Dutch word, eh?
Actually, yes. Yes.
Shall we have a look at it?
Yeah?
Oui.
You want it gratis.
So. Yeah. And we have some questions before we go to the auction. Yes, Nastya, can you give? Oh, you can bring or throw the box.
Thank you. I maybe have some monitors to donate, how would I contact you?
There is a website, aid2ukraine.nl, and we have really nice business cards here.
I'll come and pick one up later.
Well, let's do this right away. Yes, let's make sure it happens. It's very important.
Thanks.
Thank you. Good. And I have plenty more for everyone else.
And otherwise, so, I have some as well.
Yes. Any other questions? So,
I have one question.
Yes.
Yes. Roman, what happens to your beautiful hair? Where are the dreadlocks?
Well, a lot of stress because of fucking Russians. So now I don't have enough ground to this.
Let's see. We go back to the beautiful hair. I think it's here. I mean, who would not want to have a math teacher with such hair? Yes. We'll have to find a solution for this. Yes. Because I think it makes... Yes. You know, we can call the Extension Express. Yes.
Thank you.
Good. So, for everyone who wants to support our project, we have really nice kittens.
How much do you have?
Is this even a question?
Can you put the QR code back?
Yes. Oh, I can put the QR code back. Yes, for sure.
Wait, is this an auction?
Yes, we can make this an auction, but we need an auction master for this, huh? I will do it. Okay,
yeah,
good.
You're the auction master. Where's Pokon?
So can I add something about kittens?
Yeah.
So maybe you heard it in Ukraine. We usually call our soldiers, our fighters...
Котики.
Котики, which like cats, but very...
Kittens.
Sincerely, like kittens, yeah. So that are basically our defenders and this handmade kittens from the wife of one of the soldiers who gave them to us.
Which is super nice. And they have really nice little details, like a little armband and, a very nice knitted vest, which can take knitted bullets.
I want one.
Yes, you want one for sure. And it's donation wear. So, Anne-Jan, let's start with what do you think would be a really good donation to give in exchange for one of those nice kittens?
42 euros.
42 euros. I think...
69.
60. Okay, so we are now at 142 euros. Does anyone want to...
Well, that escalated quickly.
I want first kick, so...
Yes, for sure. You can choose the color. Yeah.
Blue and yellow.
I think... They are all blue and yellow.
Yeah, yeah, with the face clear. Yeah.
Yes.
First pay?
Yes, oh, perfect.
Pick one.
How to pay here for?
Oh, yeah, then pay. Dickie, nu betalen, opdracht afronden.
Yes, perfect.
Which one?
Woo! Yeah, you can pay more. That would be good.
Come on,
yeah.
Hurry up, Mendel.
Oh, well, then.
This one.
Yay, Anne-Jan. We go again. 42. 69. Mendel.
Gap. Ik geef hun geld uit.
Ja. 100. 101. Wie meer dan 101?
115.
Uitstekend, 115 hier. 125, dit gaat al heel goed. De volgende, 142.
Ja, 142.
142, geweldig.
Ja.
Dank je wel.
Cat buying a cat.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Even a question.
Ik wil er nog steeds een.
Ja.
Ja. We hebben er meer.
Ja.
Oh, ja.
Niels.
Ja, inderdaad. Laten we het dan gewoon makkelijk doen. Dan begin ik gewoon met 142.
Maar de volgende is ook al verkocht.
Ja, perfect.
Gaan we het even een beetje paralleliseren, anders duurt het zo lang.
Ja, precies.
Ik kijk even naar de lieve AV-mensen. Hebben we nog tijd hierna? Fantastisch. Ik ben een schat. Zoek er een mooie uit. Wij gaan met het hele spul hier inpakken, want de volgende komt. Er is nog één. Ah ja, natuurlijk. Even tellen.
Yes, I want to offer 50 euros and a second-hand iMac for a red vibranium and a syrup shirt, which fits.
I think it works, yes. We will pack up everything and we will go to the hall. The second-hand iMac arrives here. Roman?
Oh.
Yes. Yes, fantastic. Super.
Hey, how many have you left?
Hmm?
How many are there left?
1, 2, and daar hebben we er nog. Oh, we have two more.
Okay,
the price goes up. Nee, kom maar.
Ja. 125,
ah.
Oké.
Okay. Nou. Dan hebben we er nog één. Mooi.
Hoeveel boot Nederlands?
Ik boot niks.
We gaan, we'll pack up here and we'll go to the main hall near the Gaalspost. And there we have a really nice stock of, because everybody likes t-shirts, we have a really nice stock of t-shirts in different sizes, and we have, it's okay, we have some souvenirs that people left on Ukrainian soil.
So,
come down to us. Many thanks, everyone. I'm really, really pleased that you're here and you're helping out as well. And thank you, Roman and Nastia, for being here.
Thank you so much.